Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Oh, yeah. That is so fun. Folks, you're maybe not going to believe this. By the way, I'm Andy. Welcome to the show. Steve Dunham is here, too.
Hello.
It was 1981, June 12th, 1981. So on this date, 43 years ago today, that this movie came out. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Snakes. Why did it have to
Why
be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes? Loved this movie. Loved, Harrison Ford politically, a little bit strange, whatever, but his characters, you know, Han Solo and Indiana Jones, and I mean, there are others through the years, but those are the two iconic ones. Just amazing stuff.
He hit home runs with those characters.
He did. Now, I don't remember the first time I saw that movie in person. I do remember we played this song. Oh, I paused it. We played a song in pep band when I was in high school. You were telling me the first time you saw this movie was where?
Oh, my parents were so frugal that my older siblings talked my parents into taking the whole family to see this movie at the Villa Theater in Salt Lake.
Probably $5 a head or something.
Well, I don't know at the time. Probably not quite five, but
$3.50, something like that. Yeah.
The Villa Theater was one of those iconic, gigantic theaters that had, you know, the upper levels and the lower. It probably sat, I would guess, close to 600 people.
Wow.
It was just huge. And it was, I think it's a rug place now, but I still remember sitting in there watching that those first scenes when the boulder comes down and then he's running for the plane and the dust is flying off his back
and you're the like natives are shooting little darts at him.
That was the best.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981.
Yeah.
If you'd have asked me, hey, what year did it come out? I'd have said, 83, 84, 85, somewhere in there. But no, 81.
Yeah, there you go.
That's when it came out. I was 15 years old.
Wow, check you out.
Yeah, you were younger than that.
I was.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was 10.
Yeah, okay.
I was 10, yep.
Yeah. Oh, you're my sister's age. She was born in 71.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Andy. Steve Dunham is here from the Washington County School District, armed with a bunch of stuff from the board meeting.
You mean we're not going to talk movies the whole time?
Well, we could.
classic movies from the 80s.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, though, right up there was, of course, Star Wars 70s, technically, 77, 78.
But Empire Strikes Back was the first one I saw. I hadn't seen Star Wars yet.
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Wait, you saw the sequel before you saw the first?
Yes, and then I went back and watched the first. But that's why Empire Strikes Back is my favorite. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That one kind of had a bad ending with Han Solo and the carbonite or whatever, frozen, and the cliffhanger kind of thing.
But it's always the
I am your father, yeah.
Always the movies that don't have the good ending, the good happy ending, that kind of stick with you. Like John Wayne in The Cowboys.
Okay.
You know, that's the one where John Wayne gets shot. That's the only movie where he gets killed.
Is that the one with where he's got the young cowboys and he's teaching them how to be a cowboy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. And such a good movie.
But, by the way, John Wayne's passed away. It was 31 years ago yesterday.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So 31?
Yeah. I think so.
I thought he was older. I thought it was longer ago than that. No, maybe I don't know.
I don't remember. But
sorry, distracted.
Movies. Yeah, we got off track. favorite Western movie for me was Outlaw Josie Wales for a long time. And then Unforgiven came out.
Oh,
Clint Eastwood later in life. Oh, I love that movie.
I actually liked Pale Rider better than Unforgiven.
Really?
Yes. Okay. I really did. I love Pale Rider.
You're wrong, but good. No, I'm just kidding. No,
that's funny. You're wrong, but fine.
Rooster Cogburn was kind of fun, too.
Oh, yes.
John Wayne.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Let's talk a little bit about, let's go with the foundation, as you call it.
Yeah.
That's not like the whole name of it.
No, it is the Washington County School District Foundation.
Okay. And the idea behind the foundation is the government doesn't really give enough money for people in the school, that teachers in particular, to do everything that they need to do.
That's correct.
And my dad, having been a teacher for 30 years, I know he spent a lot of his own personal money buying back then. Of course, it was the, what do they call that thing with the projected the words on the wall?
The overhead?
Yeah, the overhead projector. And, yeah. And he was buying things for that, and he was buying, you know, colored chalk.
And grease pencils for the overhead and the clear sheets. And
But teachers don't necessarily get everything they need through, official channels.
Not by a long shot. You know, in the past, the legislature has given, I think, $175 a year to each teacher for classroom needs. And $175 doesn't even get you through October, for crying out loud. Let's face reality. And so the foundation was established so that we could provide a way to get more money into the classroom, to help teachers not have to buy out of their own pocket, to help teach a lesson, to, if they find a creative way to make learning more fun. Because the goal is to make learning fun. If you can make learning fun, the kids will remember the lesson. They'll remember that what they've been taught. And they'll perform better on tests. They'll do better in life because they remembered because it was a fun lesson.
Yeah.
And so when teachers go to professional development, they see a great way to teach a concept. We want to be able to fund that through the foundation. And so we give teachers the chance to apply for mini grants up to $500. And this last year, we gave away 639 grants to teachers, totaling $409,000.
Very cool.
And so, that's a lot of money that we raised from businesses in our community. We have really good supporters in our community. And that makes a huge impact on learning in the classroom. The money goes right into the classroom. It impacts the teachers' lives. It impacts the students' lives. And in often cases, it impacts multiple years of students in the classroom as they're reteaching that lesson, and they can still use the resources that we've bought the prior year. And so it's a really good opportunity for teachers.
I'm curious what the process is. So I'm a teacher, and I'm just doing, in my off time, because they have a lot of that, I say, oh, this program would be perfect for this math, this algebra session that I'm teaching.
Yes.
I need to each of the kids have a copy of this program that can help them get, maybe learn, understand the concepts behind this. But man, it's going to cost like $40 a student or whatever. And I don't know if I can do that, but maybe I can get a grant. So what would they do then?
So then they would apply in the fall, coming up in October. We'll open up the grant application process, and we'll open it up for several weeks where teachers can apply for grants. And then what we'll do is we'll take all those grants and we review them all. So we reviewed all of these grants. We make sure that they're applicable with technology in the district. And we make sure that, teachers understand that it's not their personal product they get. It's owned by the school still for the education of the students. And then we start passing them out in springtime. We start passing out checks to teachers. And boy, it is fun. It is really, really fun. It took us 10 years to reach our first $1 million giving away, our first $1 million in the foundation. And now 3 years later, we've just given away our second $1 million.
Wow.
And that's the impact a community like Washington County can make on education. We have all these businesses that come together. They either join our golf tournament or they'll direct sponsor grants, teacher grants. We had one family that they aren't golfers, but they wanted to help teachers. They believe in what's happening in our schools, and they gave us $60,000. That's one family. There's a lot of really good, amazing people in our community that are willing to help our teachers be successful and help them, enjoy what they're doing and make an impact on the lives of children. Yeah. And then along with that, we also had, the Dixie Power Kite Festival came to our board meeting just on Monday, and they presented a check from the funds they had raised at the Kite Festival. Guess.
$10,000.
More. It was 10 times that.
$100,000.
$100,000.
Wow.
And this is the 25th year that Dixie Power has been putting on this kite festival. Last year it was $70,000 they gave us. This year it's $100,000. And over 25 years, not only have they raised money for literacy in the school district, but they have put on this community event that really kicks off spring for our community. It's always the first weekend in April. And I'll tell you, we get upwards of 20 or 30,000 people out to Utah Tech campus where we hold the festival, and they love it. We had kites flying this year. It was a little chilly this year, but we had a good breeze and kites were flying.
It's hard to imagine right now within as hot as it is.
I know. I remember wearing a sweater the whole day and I'm like, oh boy, which would I rather have? But but it was a fun day and it really is an event that everybody looks forward to for 25 years. And Dixie Power has been phenomenal about not only giving monetarily, but also in kind. Their employees donate their time to work that day. Yeah. They've given us millions of dollars in donated employee hours to make this festival happen, and it's so good.
So the foundation is alive and well. That's great.
It's growing, yes. Yeah. It is so fun. It really is. That's the exciting side of my job.
Do other school districts in the state or the country have this kind of thing?
Yes.
Did you guys, like, were you one of the first? Are you groundbreakers? Or is this something like, hey, that's a good idea, let's do it too? Or?
You know, we're not the first with the foundation, no. We might be the first with the Kite Festival. The Kite Festival is pretty innovative, and it's fun, and I feel like it's really unique to our community, and it's something everybody looks for. Forward to. Golf tournaments, most foundations will do a golf tournament. Ours, I don't like to brag, but I really think ours is the best in the state. We've been told that we have businesses that come down from Salt Lake. We've had businesses that come from out of state. And everybody says, holy cow, this is the best golf tournament we've ever put on.
We do have the best golf courses down here.
We really do. Yeah. And we have a great sponsorship with Ledges. And they donate a big portion of their fees so that, you know, it's not completely free, but they donate a big portion. And that allows us to hold it up at the Ledges. And this last year, we raised $119,000 at our golf tournament. And so for us, that's huge. You know, for somebody like a Park City that they can.
I was going to say that
they can put out a buffet.
They don't even rent an apartment, I don't think, in Park City nowadays.
No, but their foundation, I know they can put on a dinner with McDonald's and bring in $1 million like that. So yeah, what do you do? But $119,000 for people golfing, and we treat them to a wonderful day. We have great businesses again that are just so good. So that's our foundation. That was the report that we got at the end of the year for the board, the school board from the foundation, and it was really fun to be able to do that.
I wanted to mention, and not to go away from that too much, but I did want to mention a couple of local guys who have made, Desert Hills High, so Washington County School District products. Last night, Drew Thorpe made his Major League Baseball debut for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
And here's a kid who won a state championship, Desert Hills, in baseball in 2019, went to college at Cal Poly, was drafted into the minor leagues and excelled at every level that he's been at. Now he's in the major leagues. He pitched last night, pitched 5 innings, allowed 3 hits and 1 earned run. And not only did he make his debut, I think he kind of made a statement that he's here to stay.
That's awesome.
And by the way, Drew is friends with and a classmate with Penny Sewell, who is considered by many the best offensive tackle in the National Football League. He's starting right tackle for the Detroit Lions. These are two Desert Hills kids who are at the highest level you can go in their sport, school.
You know, we really have some amazing students, both athletically and academically in our community. And you give a big shout out to them. You know, it's impressive to watch these kids excel in everything they're excited about.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Glad that these, you know, and it's a testament, I think, to obviously to those guys and the hard work and effort that they put in, but also for the great families and the great environment that they were raised in here in Southern Utah and the schools.
You know, it really is. It's mostly families and their own drive. You know, the children will learn from their parents, from their families, how to build that work ethic inside themselves, whether it's for studying, whether it's for athletics, or it's for both. We have a lot of academic all states because they're good in both arenas, yeah. So you know you have to give credit to the parents for what they're doing to help their children grow and progress and learn how to problem solve and move forward.
Yeah, I love it. Great place to live too, by the way. Even in July and August when it's 115 and we all try to kind of stay indoors. It is summer break for the school, Steve. Not for you. You're a full-time employee.
Yes,
and the district employees, most of those work all year. Most principals work all year, as well as some of the school, right, like the secretaries and stuff. So a lot of them work at least half-time during the summers.
Yeah, they'll come in a few days a week or a day a week, something like that.
teachers, they have the summers off, so to speak. Other teachers will, some of them will say, well, I'm not working, but I'm working.
Yes.
You know?
Or realistically, if you look at a teacher's life, they have put in the overtime throughout the previous months that they've essentially worked an entire year by this point already. They really have.
And some of them actually will also then get a job in the summertime to augment their income. I know my dad did that quite a few years. He'd find some other job, some other way to make money during the summers. For a while, this was really cool. He was teaching, I don't know what they call it, but he was teaching the teachers how to be better teachers. They would have conferences in Park City, and he would teach all week long, and then they would let him keep the condo in Park City for the weekend, and all the family would come up on Friday.
Yeah,
and we got to hang out and swim and do all kinds of fun stuff.
That's fun. That's really fun.
I don't know if they still do that, but that was...
They do professional development. In fact, a lot of our principals are up in Park City right now at a professional development taking place. I think it's our secondary principals are up in Park City. Our elementary principals are up in Midway. And they're working with their counterparts from across the state. It's a statewide meeting where you share best practices. This is what works well for us. And you can learn techniques and tactics that are working well in schools to improve achievement, to improve behavior, all of these things. And so they're there right now.
Love it. Yes. Keep improving. Keep working on yourself, right?
Yes.
I don't know that you're allowed really to say anything about the state school board position that Joanne Brinton and Kristen Norton are running for right now. And Steve's kind of like, I ain't gonna really.
I'm currently on the clock, so I cannot say.
Yes. And understandably. But we had Joanne on this show yesterday. Tomorrow, Kristen Norton will be on for a few minutes, and we'll get their takes on certain things. But so some of the things that keep coming up for them, you can't talk about maybe the candidates, but you can talk about some of these issues.
I can talk about issues, yes.
DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which feels a lot like affirmative action and how that fits in with school districts. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it doesn't fit in at all in school districts. Right. This is one of those national conversations that came from higher education, and people are trying to shoehorn it into K-12 education.
Yeah.
There's no DEI that happens in K through 12 education. Not at all. It's like critical race theory, CRT. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about that. It's like, no, that doesn't happen either. And in fact, the legislature passed rules against the law for it to be taught. So it's not taught. It doesn't take place. It's a scare tactic that comes from national discussions,
politics,
or news channels that are out there only to aggravate you.
Have you ever been told as an administrator with Washington County, hey, we need to hire more Asians, or we need to hire more Latinos, or more African Americans?
No.
It's never happened.
No, never happened.
That's good.
And
that's
so. Good.
I don't, I'm a firm believer that, you know, I'm a capitalist. I believe in America and the best product should win out, and the best person for the job should be the one selected to fill that job.
Now, and I can only speak for the years I've been in, you know, I can't say that hasn't happened decades ago. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But believe me when I say that stuff doesn't happen. And you have to also put into perspective, Washington County is its own microcosm of a very conservative community. Utah is more conservative than the rest of the nation, so we don't allow a lot of these things you hear nationally that take place.
True.
And Washington County is more conservative than most of Utah. And even there, we tighten down even more, and we're very cautious about what we let into our schools. Our Board of Education is very cognizant of what our community is looking for, what they want, what they do not want. And we're a very cautious, conservative community, and we watch out for the education of our children. So when people use these national things as buzzwords to generate publicity, I scoff and I go, come on, you're full of baloney or you're uneducated. One of the two.
Or both.
Or both.
All right, 927 on KDXU. We were talking 80s movies, and today is the anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark coming out. 1981. And to me, but that's one of the things that, so my kids, they, especially my oldest son, loves to call me old man. That's his favorite. Hey, old man, you know, and it's so funny, and I don't know if you've experienced this, Steve, but people see you as you are, which is understandable. You are who you are, but I don't feel like I'm 58. I don't feel like the guy that was 18 or the guy that was 15 that went and saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, or, you know, was 19 and went on a mission and you know, was 22, 23 when he got married. That same guy is still inside of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes I just, you know, I hear my son say, "Hey, old man." I'm like, "Well, I guess, but gosh, you know, I still remember a lot of this stuff, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, very, very vividly."
It's that old man syndrome where we all think we're still 12 or whatever. Yeah. You know, we laugh at the fart joke or whatever it might be, but we realize very quickly. Suddenly, you look at yourself in the mirror and go, "Man, where'd all my hair go? Or where did I'm gray? Or ow, I just threw out my back reaching for the soap in the shower." You know, those reality checks that get you.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll check in with weather. Steve Dunham is with me. I want to get to kind of talk a little bit about the relationship with parents and input and involvement in schools. Right now, let's listen to a little bit of Raiders of the Lost Ark. 42 years ago today, this movie came out.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, have you tried Angelica's Mexican Grill yet? I encourage you to go by. You know what? I'm not going to decide for you. You go by and try it yourself. And I think you'll be impressed with not only the great food, and they do have great authentic Mexican food, but kind of a cool experience there with the mural on the wall and all the artsy old school Mexico stuff. It's just really neat. It's Angelica's Mexican Grill. They're located at 101 East St. George Boulevard. And by the way, right now they have the elote. That's a Mexican street corn for sale. It's elote season, so you can get it all over your face. My wife's so funny. She loves that elote corn. She'll eat half of it, and then carefully wrap it up in foil and put it in a container and take it home. She likes to eat half now and half the next day for lunch. The only problem I have with it is sometimes she'll eat it cold out of the refrigerator. I'm like, "Oh, honey, please heat that up. It would make me feel better if you would just eat it." Yeah, it's my problem, not hers. Anyway, Angelica's Mexican Grill, a great food and great experience at Angelica's with authentic Mexican food recipes right out of Angelica's and her family's recipe book. Check them out at 101 East St. George Boulevard. You want to do a little research? It's angelicasmexicangrill.com. Angelica's is AG approved. .9 35 on KDXU. Kind of a sad deal yesterday morning. A guy that I worked with and am friends with and have known for a long time, Steve Klauke, was killed yesterday while crossing the street on 1300 East and 106 South. He was in a crosswalk. They surmised that the driver didn't see him. They were driving toward the sun and maybe didn't see him. But, yeah, Steve Klauke, longtime broadcaster for the Salt Lake Bees. In fact, 29 years and an estimated 4,000-plus games broadcasting. He retired last year and sadly was killed yesterday. Steve Klauke was 69 years old. I know you got to meet Steve once or twice.
I did. I did an internship in college at the old Sports Radio 570, and mm-hmm. Steve Klauke was there. And one of my first live remotes was with Steve.
Nice.
And he is such a nice human.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I remember is I love doing remotes with him, whether we were at the time, I think it was Franklin Quest Field.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun to work with him, and I was shocked to see that in the paper today.
Steve also did Weber State games, football and basketball games for a time, and I was paired with him. I honestly cannot remember who we broadcast, but he and I did a couple of games together. This would have been the last 5 to 10 years, and like you said, just a super nice guy.
I always
you go to a funeral and we only say nice things about people, and it's like, well, I happen to know he was kind of a jerk. But in this case, I don't know that you could find anybody that could say anything negative about Steve Klauke. Incredibly nice guy.
Very. He was who he was. What you'd hear on the radio, mm-hmm. he was just kind and gentle and just a super nice fella. And he loved baseball. He loved it.
We wish Sue and his two children, comfort in this time of sadness and losing Steve Klauke. But, he is. Boston wouldn't do anything wrong. Crossing with a light in a crosswalk, and just bad luck, I guess, more than anything else. But okay, let's talk a little bit about the Northern Corridor. Everybody's like, wait a minute, you got the school district guy on. What in the world does that have to do with the Northern Corridor? Well, actually, there's a relation in here. Explain it to us.
You know, there's a lot. It's because of the concerns that are arising about the Northern Corridor, and I won't get into that because I'm going to stay focused on the educational side.
Okay.
One of the alternatives to the Northern Corridor, one of the alternative proposals has been to change.
So, before you get into that, so basically the Northern Corridor was approved and it was all set up, and basically it would run through, it would kind of connect what is Snow Canyon Parkway with kind of the north east side of St. George,
Washington and Hurricane area,
and take a lot of pressure off of St. George Boulevard. Well, what's happened is after the approval and all the roads were made and ready and set up and get the thing built, the environmentalists and some other government agencies have come in and said, you know what? We don't want you to do this. It might affect the tortoise habitat. And so, now to where you were talking about, there have been some alternatives proposed.
Yes, the BLM was required to create alternative proposals to the Northern Corridor.
Okay.
And one of those was to change St. George Boulevard to a four-lane, one-way street headed west, and first south to a one-way, four-lane street headed east.
Wait, First South.
First South, and we have an elementary school on First South.
Yes, we do.
Legacy Elementary. And so that...
Can you imagine four lanes of cars going 40 miles per hour headed east on 100 South?
The projection is 38,000 cars a day is what it would handle.
Wow.
And you'd have four lanes of traffic, similar to a 5th or 6th South up in Salt Lake is what the big thoroughfares.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're designed just to move traffic in or out of an area.
Right.
And that would be, that was one of the proposals. And so our Board of Education discussed that and put together a resolution opposing that. Because Legacy Elementary is a 95% walking school. So we have 95% of our children that come to that school walk. Yes. And so that is a tremendous safety issue for us at the school district. And we have to be, loyal to our children and our parents that live in that community. That's just not safe.
I know, you know, this is kind of related. When they were talking about putting the new exit in Washington City, one of the proposed kind of off-ramp roads was going to be 300 East. Well, 300 East in Washington City goes right by Washington Elementary.
That's correct.
And one of the reasons they went away from that, I think, it was not only was the library and the school were right there, well, it's just a bad idea to have that many cars when you've got children, walking children.
I believe you're right. I think the reason they did not choose that is because of our elementary school there. And so we have to, you know, as a school district, we have to be concerned with the children's safety first. And whether they're in our building, coming to our buildings, we worry about that. We're very aware of that. And so that just isn't a proposal that our board could stand idly by without voicing their opposition to.
Will that make a difference, that the school board has officially said, we don't want this?
I hope so, because really, you just can't have four lanes of one-way traffic going past a walking elementary school. That's it doesn't make sense. And so we've encouraged parents that live in that community to comment during the open comment period. It's open till June 24th. And the BLM is very clear. They don't want a comment saying, hey, I don't like this because it sucks. They want a comment that is very clear of, I have a child that walks here twice a day. I can't have the risk as they cross the street. You have to give details on your comment.
It can't be like mom and dad, because I said so.
Exactly.
No, that doesn't work.
Exactly. So we did want to make our parents at Legacy Elementary aware about that, and the board is very aware of that.
One of the things about the Northern Parkway, and this is not Steve's area of expertise, but one of the things that really bothers me is it feels like they're putting the lives of some tortoises who are not actually technically native to here ahead of the lives of human beings. And that's always bothered me about people that are quote-unquote environmentalists is they, I understand the need to preserve, and we don't want to put any species, make any species extinct or put them out of their natural habitat, but shouldn't we first be worried about, you know, mom and dad and little Jenny and Bobby and taking care of the human beings first? Shouldn't that be our top priority?
You know, I, like you said, I'm not going to speak because I don't want to get into the... Yeah. I'll stick with the school district side, not the political side.
Okay, well, good for you.
There you go.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, do you know where the other proposed alternate routes would be? You don't?
I do not. Okay. We were only concerned with the one that's going to affect our children, our students, and our parents, and our school there.
The crazy thing is they offered them... I think it was, I can't remember, 6,000 acres or something, like 16 times as much land as they're currently using out, you know, on this other part of town, kind of a southwest of town, as trade. And they would offer to move the tortoises there, and the habitat is essentially exactly the same. Plus, they would have little tunnels under the road for the tortoises to cross if there were any. And they said, no, that's not good enough. So, interesting. Let's talk a little bit about parental involvement. Now, you and I have agreed many times. Look, if a parent gets involved in a student's education, it makes a huge difference.
Yes.
And I read a thing the other day. It's like, kids need someone to tell them, hey, it's time to go to bed. Kids need someone to say, hey, it's time to put down the phone or stop watching the movie or stop playing the video game. Kids need someone to get them up in the morning, to prepare, help them, you know, get some breakfast before school starts, to get them to school on time. Kids need parents to do all those things. That's just the stuff that's not even directly related to schoolwork. That's just the basic framework of a young person's life. And then you throw in, well, kids need mom and dad to remind you to do your homework or maybe to help you out if you're having a problem with a concept in math or algebra or English or whatever it is. And so, you know, Joanne Britton talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I'm sure Kristen Norton will talk about it a little bit tomorrow too, but parental involvement is so important. Are there, Steve, parents that don't want anything to do with all that stuff?
Oh, there definitely are parents that don't want anything to do with that.
It's crazy.
And that is the number one factor for the success of a child in their whole educational career.
Yeah.
Is whether or not their parents were involved in what they were doing at school. If they asked questions, if they sat down with them to read. Nothing makes a bigger impact than sitting down with your child to read a short story every, you know, please, we beg you, please do that every once in a while. I'm not going to tell you how often, but show some interest in your child's education. Ask them about their day. Ask them about what they learned. Ask them, you know, if there's something they learned. I always like to quiz my kids when they get into the geography classes or the history classes. I'm like, oh, what did you learn about? And they'll talk about Europe. I'm like, oh, what countries are there in Europe? And then I'll make them list them off. And then I'll say, oh, where's this one? And where's this one? And I like to have some fun with it and make a little games out of it. Or you know, when I was chasing my second major up at the University of Utah in history, I'll quiz them on the Roman Empire and and do things like that. But I'll just have fun with them.
I tried to find it, couldn't find it. I was going to show you a picture of me. These were not my grandkids. These were my niece's kids. So I guess it would be my great nieces or great nephews. They came over the other night and had dinner with us and stuff. We had the whole family. It was kind of a little party. But for a while there, I was so proud because I was sitting in my nice, easy chair, you know, dad's chair.
Yeah.
And I had a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old sitting on my lap, and we were reading books together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we sat there for, like, I don't know, 2 hours reading books with these kids. And just the benefit, I mean, you say, okay, it benefits the kids. There's no doubt it benefits the kids tremendously. The benefit to the person doing the reading, though, is, I mean, the bonding and the feeling you get.
And the cuddle time.
It's amazing.
You know, nothing's better than when your kid will put their head against your arm as you're reading that story, and it's about give a moose a muffin or whatever it is. Yeah. Or
We read The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Yes.
A couple of times. And, you know, I've had the opportunity, too, when we've been up north, my older grandkids, the older twins, we call them the Bigs. We have the Bigs and the Littles because they're two sets of twins. But the Bigs have really gotten interested in books lately.
Oh, that's
fun. And it's been so fun to sit there with the Bigs on your lap just reading stuff.
Nothing makes a bigger impact on a child's education than involvement from the parents. And if you will, if you'll take that time, we're not saying you got to be mean about it. We're just saying be firm. Make them do the homework, you know, on a regular basis. Make them read that book. Make them ask them about how their day's going, how the education, what they're learning. Ask those questions. Talk to them.
Do you know what centers are? So I used to go to kindergarten with each of my kids. I went through kindergarten. One day a week I would go in and hang out in the class, and they had something called centers. It could be, you know,
a sandbox,
or you have pieces of a turkey, and you glue pieces on the turkey that's been cut out in construction paper or whatever. Mm-hmm. When my kids were little and summer came around, we did something called centers at home. And every day at a certain time, we would get together and we'd have two or three activities and we would all sit down and do them together. And I don't say this to brag. I say this because I gained so much out of those centers.
Uh-huh.
I know it helped the kids. I really do. I mean, and that's why I did it. But the fact that I got to do it myself and be a part of things, it helped me tremendously in the relationship with my kids.
Well, you're showing that learning can be fun.
Yeah.
And you're showing that it's quality time with you and your child, where the phones get put down and you're having time together.
Now, I understand not every dad could do what I did. You know, we were a weird family. My wife worked during the day. I worked nights and weekends. So I had that time where I could hang out with my kids in the summertime and do centers at 10 o'clock in the morning. Not every dad can do that, obviously.
Yeah.
But still, I encourage all of you to, whether it's your kid or your grandkid or whatever, to spend a little time. It'll help you. You'll get as much out of it as they do, trust me.
I 100% endorse what you just said.
We'll take a break. Be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:53 on KDXU. Steve Benham is here.
Hello.
I have both of my buttons pushed. That's kind of cool. Both meters were bumping. I know you can't see that, but it's unusual. It's great to have you here, Steve.
It's always fun to join you in studio.
I'm a little older than Steve, but not a lot older than Steve.
No,
not
much.
We have a lot in common. We both love the 80s.
Yes.
What a great decade that was, especially music-wise.
Music, movies, everything.
Yeah. Did you come away with a favorite band from the 80s? Do you have is there one that really stepped above all the rest?
My first favorite band was really ZZ Top.
Okay, those guys were amazing.
And that was the first cassette I bought was Afterburner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hit a chord with me, that Southern rock, and I've always liked that, and then it kind of grew into the, like I said, we've talked about in the past, the hair metal bands.
Yeah. Yeah. The spandex and
yeah,
I was a DJ in the late 80s. I was at Z104 in Logan, and
what a great Z104!
Yeah, I was our tag history of hits from the 60s to the 90s. You know, and,
oh, that's fun.
I was
kissing 97. The soft hits of the 70s, 80s, and now we're kissing 97.
I remember kissing, yeah. And if you were a little bit of a rocker, you were Rock 103, and if you were a hard rocker, you were K-Bear.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Back in the day, I tried to listen to K-Bear when I was up in Salt Lake last time I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of talking, and it's not very nice talking. It's kind of, they do a lot of talking about immature things.
Yeah, it's evolved. It's evolved, and so maybe we've evolved too.
And KRSP was Rock 103. It's more of a edgy pop now, but it's still pretty good, but not quite the same. And I don't know what's happened to Kiss, and I guess it's still going.
It's a 97.1 is still there, but it's not a Kissin' anymore. It's new call sign and everything, and Sports Radio 570. I don't know if they're still there either.
I don't know. I had a friend, Lyle Morris, who was on FM 100, and back when we lived there, FM 100 was elevator music.
You know,
you and I wouldn't be caught dead listening to FM 100. They have changed. They are now AC Adult Contemporary. They play a lot of stuff that was pop music when you and I were teenagers, you know, a lot of the, you know, the Madonna, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
The Thompson Twins, and, you know, I, when I was there, I heard Thompson Twins, Hold Me Now.
Hold Me Now, so, yep.
Yeah. But Steve, you guys made a promise to folks over at Snow Canyon. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, last year when we had our tax initiative, we promised our taxpayers throughout the county that if we can move forward with this proposal, we would never ask for come back to taxpayers and ask for a bond to build a new building. Well, we're taking the first step on that right this year. We're moving forward to rebuild Snow Canyon Middle. Snow Canyon Middle was built in the late 80s, early 90s. It was what we call stick construction. It was made of 2x4s. That building has not held up well. We're on one of the state's lists of unreinforced masonry. That whole gymnasium is unreinforced masonry, which means in an earthquake, it would likely collapse entirely.
Yeah,
and so especially in a school. And so because of that, we are moving forward and the board is moving forward and some ground's going to start to get moved over there. They're going to start by moving the tennis courts between Snow Canyon Middle and Snow Canyon High. Those will get moved around to a new location on Snow Canyon High.
They're not going to turn them into pickleball courts.
No. But they are going to get moved and construction's going to start work on those. That's the first step.
So it'll be behind the high school, the new tennis courts?
I believe. I'm not exactly sure of their location. Okay. I just know that they're going to get moved. And then dirt work will begin on the new Snow Canyon Middle, which will be on the practice football field back behind to the west of Snow Canyon Middle.
Okay.
School will continue as normal in the old building until the new school is built off
which
to the west.
Will take how long, do you think?
We're anticipating 3, possibly 4 years.
Okay.
And so we'll maintain school in the old building until that's done, and then we will remove, once it's done, we'll move the kids over, remove the old building, and put in the new practice football field and parking areas.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, you don't think about that. We're going to rebuild something. Well, we can't actually just tell people, oh, well, don't go to school for 3 years. They've got to be somewhere.
They got to be somewhere.
So they're going to stay in the old building until the new one is ready.
That's correct. And okay. So we're taking the first steps to make all that work.
Didn't they used to be like the Scorpions or something? It seemed like their mascot originally was the Scorpion.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
And it changed over time. I don't know. Anyway, so that's interesting news. But I think, as you mentioned, the promise is that we're not going to borrow money to do it.
No, we're not. We're gonna pay from this out of our cash reserves now. And as we move forward, we will pay. That will save the taxpayers' interest. That will save us having to come and ask for a tax increase in the future, and we're maintaining that. And the bids have come in, and our bids are all within $500,000 of what we projected, which is very close on a multi-million-dollar project like this.
9:58, so we got 1 minute left, so I'm going to ask you a loaded question.
Please, fire away.
We talked about parental involvement, but sometimes you get parents that are too involved. That happens occasionally, doesn't it?
Parents oh, yes.
Want too much to be involved in their kids' education?
Yes.
What do you do in those? Well, give us an example.
You coach as best you can, because parents will come in, and if they don't like the curriculum, maybe that's being taught on a specific subject in a class, they have the right to opt their child out of that.
Yeah.
But your child misses out. And the whole goal of public education, again, Utah in and of itself is very conservative in how it teaches the curriculum. Washington County is even more conservative on how we teach it. And so if you want to do that, maybe homeschooling is your best option. Maybe there's a charter school that provides a better option. Or you can opt out and your child will miss out and you'll have to teach that the way you feel is best.
And your kid will be that one kid that mom and dad wouldn't let go to.
It does become a challenge at times like that, yes. And you become that one parent that's a little challenging.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for coming on. It's always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure to be here, Andy.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Again, Kristen Norton will be on tomorrow. Also, Chris Daly.